Bibles, Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Mark 8 and verse 31. Page 1567. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. So let's pray now. Lord, please help me now, please, to speak clearly and in the power of your Spirit. And please speak to each one of our hearts to help us to understand your word more fully. And Lord, to move us to believe in Christ and to serve him in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last Sunday, we were thinking about this verse, and we were thinking about the question, why did Jesus say that he had to die? And I pointed out last week that it was really quite an extraordinary thing for Jesus to say that he had to die, because he's the only person who has ever lived who didn't have to die, because he's the only person who's ever lived who had never sinned. So from that point of view, actually, he shouldn't have had to die, because death is the result of sin. And also, he shouldn't have had to die, because he's the Son of God. He had the power to stop himself from dying. But he says that he had to die. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed. And as we thought about it, I explained that there were three truths which, when you take together, prove that Jesus had to die. There was no other alternative but for him to die. The first truth is the love that God has for men. God wants to save us. The second truth is our sin and our guilt before God, which makes us unworthy to have any relationship with God. The third truth is the absolute justice of God that has to punish sin. Now, when you take those three truths together, God's love, our guilt, and God's justice, then you realize the cross had to happen. If Jesus hadn't have died on the cross, the Father would have denied his love. If he hadn't have died on the cross, the Father would have denied his justice. If God had just said, okay, come to me and be saved and have all your sins forgiven, without Jesus having died on the cross, it would have been a complete violation of the justice and holiness of God. The only way in which God's love and his justice could be satisfied simultaneously was through the cross. And so Jesus had to die. But not only does Jesus say in this verse that he had to die, he also says in the same verse that he had to rise again. He could not stay dead. He had to rise. And so this morning I want us to think about that question. Why does Jesus say that he had to rise? Why could Jesus not have just simply stayed dead? Why couldn't he have just, you know, he'd performed the sacrifice. He'd done what was necessary. Why did he rise again? When a lamb is killed and the sacrifice is made, the blood is poured out, does the lamb get up again and start walking around again? No, the lamb's dead. So why did Jesus, the Lamb of God, not just stay dead? Why did he have to rise? So that's the question we're thinking about this morning. Why does he say that he had to rise from the dead? Wasn't an option here. It had to happen. Now, as with what we were thinking about in terms of Jesus' death, there is a sense in which we can say that he had to rise from the dead because the scripture foretells Jesus' resurrection from the dead. There are a number of places in the Old Testament where God said that the Messiah would rise from the dead. One example is in Psalm 16. And in that psalm, David is speaking about the future. And he says in Psalm 16 and verses 10 and 11, he says, I'll read from verse 9 actually, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So David says, you will not abandon me to the grave. You will not let your Holy One see decay. And yet, as Peter pointed out on the day of Pentecost, David did die. His body did see decay. And when Peter was speaking on the day of Pentecost, there was still David's tomb that they could go and visit. And inside that tomb were rotten, were bones. So as Peter says on the day of Pentecost, he says in Acts 2, verse 29, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay." So here in Psalm 16, this is talking not so much about David, but about the Messiah, about the Christ, whose body would not be allowed to see decay, and how Christ would live forever. And there are other references, other predictions of the resurrection in the Old Testament as well, which we won't look at now, but on Wednesday we saw a prophecy of the resurrection in Psalm 22. And there's also a prophecy of the resurrection in Isaiah 53. And you can look those up for yourself in your own time if you want to. So, yes, in one sense, Jesus had to rise from the dead because the Old Testament had said it. The scripture had said that he had to rise. God could not allow his son to see corruption, the body of his son to see corruption, because he had said in the Old Testament that there was going to be a resurrection for the Messiah. But as we saw with the predictions of the death of Christ that were in the Old Testament, an Old Testament prophecy does not just tell you what is going to happen. If God has predicted something that's going to happen, It means that it's something that God has purposed to happen. It's something God has planned to happen. It is something that is within the will of God that it should happen. The overall will of God, the plan of God. So this still begs the question, why was it God's plan for Christ to rise from the dead? Why did God say that it had to happen, that his own, that the Messiah would rise again? Well, there are a number of reasons which I'd like to share with you this morning as to why Jesus had to rise from the dead, why the Father planned and decreed the resurrection of his of the Messiah, of Christ. And the first is this. Jesus had to rise from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. Remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Son of God who became man. We're talking about the one who made the whole world. Almighty God in human form. It was impossible that death should be able to conquer the Son of God. He's much more powerful than death. Last week I quoted from John's Gospel, from chapter 10, verse 17. Remember these words. Jesus said, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Because Jesus is God, he's got the power to lay down his life. He's also got the power to take up his life again. And Peter said on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, verse 24, he said, "God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." So Jesus had to rise from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. Second reason why Jesus had to rise from the dead is this. He had to rise from the dead in order that the Father would vindicate him and prove him to be the true Messiah. Do you remember people kept on challenging him in his life? They kept on saying, "Give us a sign to show that you are who you say you are." And do you remember Jesus said to them, he said, "No sign will be given to them except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the earth." So the resurrection of Jesus was, Jesus said, was the sign, the sign, was going to be the sign to prove that he really was who he said he was. People have said that he was driving out evil spirits by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of the devil. How could that, how, if God had not vindicated Jesus, if God had not raised Jesus from the dead, he would have effectively been saying, yes, those lies that people said about him are true. Yes, he isn't the Son of God. Yes, he is not, he is an imposter. The Father could not leave his own Son rotting in the grave. He had to raise him up from the dead in order to vindicate him and in order to show that what he said was true, that he really is the Son of God, that he really is the Savior of all those who trust in him. So that's the second reason. Third reason is this. The Father had to raise Christ from the dead in order to show that he had accepted his sacrifice. If the Father had left Jesus in the grave, the question would have remained, is what Jesus did on the cross sufficient to pay for our sins? Has the Father accepted his sacrifice? Or perhaps is there a question mark? Maybe what he did on that cross was not quite enough to pay for our sins. By raising Jesus from the dead, the Father is saying that what Jesus did on the cross was accepted by him as a valid sacrifice for the sins of all those that God was planning to save. Now in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, there is an interesting statement. It says this: he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, justification is where God declares somebody to be not guilty. So when you are justified by God, he says about you, your sins are forgiven. Not only are sins forgiven, but you are credited with the righteousness of Christ. God imputes to you the righteousness of Christ. You are counted, you are declared by God to be not guilty before him. Now, we normally associate justification with the death of Christ. We're justified, we would normally say, on account of the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us, on account of the fact that he shed his blood for us. And that is, of course, true. But interestingly, here in this verse, Paul says that Christ was raised to life for our justification. Our justification before God is not complete until Christ was raised from the dead. It's only then, when he's raised from the dead and God, as it were, publicly accepts the sacrifice of Christ, it's only then that our justification is complete. It's only then that we are declared by God to be righteous in the sight of Christ, before him, on account of what Jesus did. So if there was no resurrection, there would be no justification. If there were no resurrection, we would still be in our sins. There would still be no certainty that our sins have been paid for. Fourth reason why God had to raise Christ from the dead is this: because without the resurrection, there would be no rebirth. Do you remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, he said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And again in verse 5 of that same chapter, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. Now, how does the rebirth happen? The rebirth happens through a person being united with Christ in his death and being united with him also in his resurrection. So the old man dies and is buried, and a new man comes to life in Christ. Now, Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. He says, or don't you know, he says, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is the wonderful thing that happens when someone is truly converted, when someone truly becomes a Christian. The old you dies, and a new you is raised up from the dead. A new person. The old person, the old man, hated God. Hated the law of God. Didn't want to love people. Didn't want to obey God. The new man loves God. The new man loves the law of God. The new man wants to please, wants to do good to other people. Now this happens through our union with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. So what happens if there's no resurrection? If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, there'd be no new birth. We'd all be still dead in our sins. We'd still all be God haters. We'd still all be people who hate the law of God. And none of us would go to heaven, because Jesus said no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So Jesus had to be raised from the dead, otherwise we'd still be dead in our trespasses and sins. Peter says something similar in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." So we see the link here between the resurrection of Christ and the rebirth. Jesus had to be raised from the dead, otherwise there would be no rebirth. Fifth reason why Jesus had to be raised from the dead is this: because otherwise there would be no resurrection from the dead for us. Now Paul makes this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. And he says there, speaking of course hypothetically, he says, "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. We have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." If Christ was not raised from the dead, then we're not raised either. And if we're not raised either, then basically we got nothing to live for. Our life is pointless. Because what's the point in being a Christian? Because you serve Christ and you come to Christ and you suffer in this world. And if there's no resurrection to look forward to, well, what hope? You know, as he says, we're to be pitied more than all men. Better to be a complete worldling. Better to eat, live, and be merry for tomorrow we die. If that's your attitude, you might as well just go out and just live a worldly life. Because what's the point if there's no resurrection? But thanks be to God, there is a resurrection, because Christ has been raised from the dead. But if Christ was not raised from the dead, there would be no resurrection for us either. The Father had to raise him in order that we too might be raised from the dead. Sixthly, the Father had to raise Christ from the dead because otherwise he would not have been able to be our permanent high priest in heaven. You see, the work of Jesus had not finished. We sometimes think that Jesus' work was simply to come into this world and to live a perfect life and then to die on the cross for our sins. And we tend to think, well, once he's done that, then he's finished his work. But that's just the beginning of his work. Because after Jesus was raised, after his death, he then was raised from the dead. He then goes back up to heaven and he continues as our high priest in heaven. And people often forget about the work that Christ is doing now in heaven, interceding for his people in heaven now. Thanks be to God for that. But if he just stayed in the grave, he would not have been able to fulfill this role, this work of being our high priest. Now, the book of Hebrews talks about this work of Christ as the high priest. In chapter 7, and verse 23, the writer to the Hebrews makes a contrast between Jesus, our living high priest, and the high priests of the Old Testament. Now, the high priests of the Old Testament, they fulfilled a certain role of representing the people before God and representing God to the people. But the problem with the high priests of the Old Testament was they kept on dying. They didn't have a lasting priesthood. They had to be replaced because they kept on dying. They were themselves sinners. They couldn't be the perfect high priest that we need. But then, the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 7, verse 23, "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely or to the uttermost or forever those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us." Because he was raised from the dead, he can be this permanent, living high priest who is in heaven interceding for the Lord's people. And not only does he intercede for us, but he also bears his own blood. If you a little bit further in Hebrews in chapter 9, it says this, verse 11. "When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all. Once for all, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of bulls and ashes and of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" Jesus is this living high priest who's gone into the heavenly holy of holies bearing not the blood of animals, but bearing his own blood. If Jesus had stayed dead, he would not have been able to carry his sacrifice up into the Holy of Holies and offer that sacrifice to God there in heaven, to offer his blood before God on our behalf in heaven. So he had to be raised from the dead for that, to be our high priest. And then seventhly and finally, Jesus had to be raised from the dead because otherwise he would not have been able to fulfill his role as king. There are so many places in the Old Testament which speak about the Messiah as a great king, whose empire was spread over the whole world, who would defeat all of his enemies. If he'd been left as a dead king in the grave, none of those prophecies would have been able to be fulfilled. He had a kingdom to execute. And Psalm 110 speaks about this. There are many places in the Old Testament which speak about this, but one example is Psalm 110, which says this, verses 1 and 2. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. God had promised to his son, the Messiah, that he was going to be the king over the whole world, and that all his enemies would come and bow before him. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. So he's got to reign. He's got to be the king. So he could not possibly stay in the grave. He had to be raised from the dead in order to be that faithful king for us. So just to recap the reasons why Jesus had to be raised from the dead. He had to be raised in order that... actually, I'm not going to do that now because I've completely lost my notes, so I'm not going to try to go through to recap. But I'd like to just draw to a conclusion now of what we should learn from this today. What impact should the truth of Jesus, the necessity that Jesus had to be raised from the dead, what impact should that have upon us? The first thing I like to say is this: if Jesus had to be raised from the dead, we should not be surprised at the resurrection of the dead or stumble at it. See, so many people say, the resurrection of the dead, well, that we can't really believe that because that's just too unlikely. It's too implausible. They say, it's never been happened, it's never happened before, and it couldn't possibly happen, and therefore, how can we possibly believe it? The answer is the opposite. The resurrection of the dead, from God's perspective, had to happen. It couldn't not happen. Once Jesus had died on that cross, it was inevitable that he would be raised again. There was nothing else that could have happened except for Christ to be raised from the dead. There are those who say, well, I'm not sure. They claim to be Christians, and they say, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not too sure that I believe in this literal resurrection of the body of Jesus from the dead. They say, I find it hard to believe that. And then they say, oh, but it doesn't really matter because you can still say you're a Christian even if you don't believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But thanks be to God, the truth is, it did happen. Jesus was raised from the dead. His body was raised. People did see him. They did touch him. And we can be sure that it did happen. And we can be sure that it had to happen. So we need to stop any foolish doubting, any questioning, wondering, oh, did it really happen? Was Jesus really raised from the dead? He most certainly was raised from the dead because he had to be raised from the dead. He couldn't not be raised from the dead. Next practical implication is this. If Jesus was raised from the dead and he had to be raised from the dead, we need to repent of our sins. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, he is the King. He is the Lord. We are to give an account to him for our lives. We're all going to have to appear before him as the judge. Therefore, we must cease from living a life of rebellion against him immediately. And we must turn to him and get right with him while we can. Thirdly, if it is true that Jesus had to be raised from the dead and most definitely was raised from the dead, then he is our Savior. God has shown that his death on the cross was sufficient to pay for our sins. We should stop trying to work our own way into heaven, because we can't do that anyway. Stop trying to make ourselves good enough, and instead trust in what Jesus did on that cross, that finished work which God has said that he has accepted by raising Christ from the dead. Put your trust in him. Depend on him to be your Savior. And finally, having repented of your sin, you and I, we need to serve the Lord gladly and wholeheartedly, knowing that just as he was raised from the dead, we also are going to be raised from the dead. It is worth serving the Lord. Because everything that you do as a Christian is being noted by the Lord. And everything that you do in the Lord's name and by the power of his Spirit will be rewarded on that last day at the resurrection and will contribute to the pleasure and the glory that you will experience when you are raised from the dead. So serve the Lord gladly. Tell others the gospel. Be generous with your money. Because the Lord is going to come again and he will raise your body from the grave and he will give you a glorious and wonderful inheritance in his presence forever. Well, I'd like us to sing to finish number 460. Number 460.